quota ma toka rotaki puka puka today is Paul Diamond, our book reviewer. Kia ora e hoa.
Ata maria, kia ora, Catherine.
Now, Kariria is by Marama Stevens, Marami Stevens. But just help me with that. I'm wondering if that's a typo. Please forgive me. It is Marami. Excuse me, it's Marami Stevens, yeah.
Marmari, yeah.
Marmari, big
after one of the canoes, one of the waka.
Yes.
And Kariria is a New Zealand falcon. So Marmari is Aohunuku, a reader in law at the Kohanganui Tātai Ture, the Faculty of Law at Te Herenga Waka, Victoria University of Wellington, here in Wellington. And she's also a kai manaaki, a pirihi, a Māori chaplain, an Anglican priest. And both of those things are kind of relevant to this lovely little book. It's made up of 16 essays or articles that were written between 2016 and 2020. Most of them, I think, were on her blog, which is called Sparrowhawk. And also on the E Tangata website, and edited and sometimes in different forms. But this is one of those BWB texts from Bridget Williams' books, sort of dubbed short books on big subjects. And I think there's been about 70 plus of those. So they're sort of an interesting kind of format, because they let these writers and thinkers kind of publish some of their thoughts about particular topics. And the question I'd have with a collection of blog articles and articles that are on websites is, you know, is this dated? You know, do these still have currency in a book format? So that was kind of the question I had as I went through these. But I think it's a great format, actually, because, you know, this is why books are still so valuable, because it's a chance to kind of just pause and take time, and it's a more contemplative kind of form of reading than a blog or Twitter or Facebook. The other interesting thing about these essays is that they're kind of written just before the pandemic, really. And Marmari says, you know, my writing often needs the people and experiences I come from if my words are to make any sense at all. So I should have mentioned, she belongs to Te Rarawa, iwi in the north, sort of from Ahipara. And so an example of what she's talking about there is an essay that features one of her children. And it's titled, I Never Saw Any Narrative of Māori Life Until I Was an Adult. And just reflecting on the difference it's made to her son, who was at that time 15 years old, sort of seeing these things like Taika Waititi's Boy and going to the Māori Land Film Festival and, you know, these things that were never around in her lifetime. And, you know, when I read a piece like that, it reminds me of Helen Brown's writing. Your listeners who are my age and older might remember her, a columnist who was based in New Zealand and then went to Melbourne and has kept writing. But she would talk about her family and what was going on from her position in the community and actually say sort of bigger things. I think it's a lovely style of writing. So what Marmari's doing is making these linkages between her own experience and bigger contexts, and the kind of lenses she's using often is law and Christianity. And she was also, she was a probation officer, and she didn't even know what a probation officer was when she, you know, moved from being a broadcaster, I think, in Māori radio to being a probation officer. But that gives her a very interesting dual kind of perspective on things like the criminal justice system. She's got a really fluent, engaging writing style, and there's a lovely creativity and a project she's been involved with that's had a big influence on my work at the Turnbull Library is a thing called the Legal Māori Project, where they built up a dictionary of Māori legal terms. They just mined the material that had been produced from the 19th century onwards and built up this sort of dictionary. But what she explains why that was really significant for now, not just a sort of a historical exercise. She said, by seeing the almost complete absence of Mātauranga Māori in the study of New Zealand law, I realised that te reo Māori, despite all that colonisation had thrown at it, had always been an ordinary language of law and civil discourse. And that was a big influence on us at the library, because suddenly the light went off in my head and I realised that, yes, these are not just historical things. They're kind of a sign that language was a language of civil discourse and could be again. The other person that this book reminded me of was Kim Workman, and people might know about his memoir, also published by Bridget Williams, called Journey Towards Justice. Because although that was really more his personal experience in the police and other roles he's had, and his reflections on the criminal justice system and what it, how Māori feature in that. But it's really about sort of perspectives on what being Māori in the 20-teens is like. And you just get these lovely windows into lots of different perspectives. So as well as I say, being creative, what one of the things I love about her writing is that she's critiquing Māori experience. There's an interesting piece about our marae being in threatened in danger. And she talks about a proposal to set up a marae in Australia. And there's always been talk about this, but it's never really happened. And she's kind of a little bit concerned that they're not always acknowledging sort of mana whenua Indigenous people in Australia when in those processes. So, you know, I think she's got a very innovative, fresh, creative approach to things. And I guess overall, yes, these things haven't dated because I think they've been very well edited. And I think it's good to be reminded of things like, can you remember when the Te Puia Marae was housing people, you know, during the earlier iteration of the housing crisis?
Yes.
And, you know, I'd forgotten about that. And it's interesting what she's talking about, you know, that there's a quote, many Māori have always had a vision of Māori welfare that established Māori solutions to Māori poverty. Is that a kind of a separatism, as Lindsay Mitchell worries alongside other luminaries of constitutional thought, such as John Key? I don't think so, because the equally powerful vision of Māori society is that of sharing and common good for all New Zealanders. So she's tapping actually into the thinking that I'm hearing going on from Dame Anne Salmond and people like that about the treaty, and that this was not just about a return of assets in terms of Article 1. There's also the whole thing about citizenship and how do we all live together. And I think the pandemic has kind of just highlighted the importance of some of the things that Marmaduke's talking about. Remember, you and I spoke about Max Rashbrook, and he said it's dangerous if people are isolated from each other. Well, this book is good because it gives people a chance to have empathy and see into these other worlds. So, recommended.
Fabulous. Kia ora. Thank you very much. Paul Diamond has reviewed Karerea by Marmari Stevens. It is published by BW Books, Bridget Williams Books, and $15 for the paperback.